Last week, we had the parable of the prodigal son, perhaps Jesus' most famous and his best parable. And then, the very next thing in Luke's gospel is this parable. And it's kind of a real head-scratcher. So there's a dishonest steward, and then he cheats his master even more, and the moral of the story is, good for him. Huh? You know, that doesn't sound like what Jesus normally says. Well, it's a bit of a confusing parable, and actually the interpretation of a lot of the details is disputed by scripture scholars. But I can tell you, the message of the parable is not that it's good to be dishonest. So don't get worried and don't go out and cheat on your taxes. God doesn't change his fundamental moral teaching. I said in our first reading, he was condemning cheating, and he still does. So let's take a closer look at this parable. So there's a rich man, a landowner, and he has a steward, the head servant who manages his property. Like the owner of a restaurant hires a manager to run the daily operations. And someone reports to the owner, the master, that the steward has been wasting the master's money, probably through embezzling it. So the steward is a cheater. He's a cheat. And so the master says to the steward, turn over the record books because you're fired. You know, prepare an account of what you've been doing and because you can't be the steward anymore. But apparently the steward has a day or so to get the records together. And so he comes up with a clever plan, a shrewd way to provide for his needs in the future once he's unemployed. He hatches this scheme. So he calls in the tenant farmers, the people who owe his master money or produce, and he says, how much do you owe my master? Oh, 100 measures of olive oil. That's interesting. Actually, now you owe 50 measures of olive oil. How about that? Here's your original contract back. You can tear that up, and we'll write a new one for 50. How does that sound? Yeah, no problem. Don't worry about it. You're welcome. Just, you know, maybe if I need something sometime, you owe me one, okay? Great. Next. Well, yeah, I think we can knock off 20% of your debt there. Yeah, no problem. It's fine. Just maybe you can do something for me sometime. And so he cooks the books. He reduces the debts that people owe his master. And these are significant amounts, too. Maybe equivalent to several thousand dollars or maybe $10,000 per person. So after the steward is fired, he has a bunch of new friends who are glad to provide for his needs. They owe him favors. And so when the master later finds out about this, he hears that the steward might have actually reduced people's debts and falsified some of the records. Presumably he can't do anything about it because the steward has changed all the records. He doesn't have good information, but he's just heard that maybe this has happened. So the only thing the master can say is, well, dang, he's a scoundrel, but he's a clever scoundrel. Well played. So the morality of this, right and wrong, the fact that the steward is a cheater, that's not the point of the parable. Parables aren't about everything in them. They're about one aspect. So this parable isn't focused on the justice or injustice of this, but it's focused on that aspect of cleverness and of prudence, this worldly prudence, kind of a shrewdness. The steward sees what's coming, and he uses his cleverness and his wits to prepare for it. He uses what he has at the moment, which will be taken away very soon, his job as a steward. He uses that to provide for his future needs. And what does Jesus say about this? Well, the parable is about this world only. And Jesus says, the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. He says that worldly people are more shrewd and they plan better for the future in this world than the people of God do. And this is often true. You know, think of, you know, we hire someone oftentimes to help out with our taxes to make sure we get a good deal. We hire someone to help with our retirement investments and all of that. We want to make sure we're planning well for this world. But how often do we take the same effort to plan well for the next life? Oftentimes, the children of this world and us in our dealings with this world are more prudent in dealing with this worldly things than we are in what comes after that. But here's the thing. We're only prudent in planning for the future in this world. And what Jesus is saying with this parable is, well, you think that was clever. You think that this steward was very shrewd to use something which was about to vanish to provide for his future needs for the next few years. I'll tell you what's even more shrewd, to use the goods that we have for just a few years to provide for our future in eternity. You think it was clever of the steward to invest in something which would pay off for the next 30 or 40 years only. What's really clever is to invest in something which pays dividends forever. That's why Jesus then says, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In other words, use the passing wealth, the dishonest wealth, the worldly wealth of this world, to make friends and earn favors which will last for eternity. That's what's really shrewd. Because all of our wealth will vanish within a few decades. Now, money is no good to us when we're dead. But Jesus says that we can invest that money now to pay dividends in eternity. As he says earlier in the gospel, we can lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. Do we lay up treasure in heaven? And the way that we do this is by giving it away. Almsgiving, giving to God, giving to God through the poor especially. In fact, the thing that comes right next in the gospel is a parable about almsgiving. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man who ignores the poor all throughout his life and is suffering in eternity, whereas Lazarus is rewarded. The eternal consequences of failing to give to the needy. We have this constant tradition in the Christian church of giving. Of giving to the church, of giving to worthy charities, especially of giving to the poor, because the poor are very dear to the Lord. As we heard in our first reading, in our psalm, the poor have a special love for them by God, that God loves them in a special way. And if we have given to them here on earth, they will in turn be our benefactors in heaven. They'll pray for us and they will receive us into an eternal dwelling. The only thing we can keep is what we give away. So as you plan for the future, as you plan your retirement, you plan for your future needs, remember Jesus' parable. Don't plan only for the next few decades here on earth, but think and pray about how you're planning for what comes after that. How am I using the passing wealth of this world to prepare for the next world? Do the really prudent thing and make investments now, which will pay dividends in eternity.